My name is the Reverend Lisa Mason, and I have the great honor of being the rector of St. John's Episcopal Church in Larchmont. I pray that you enjoy this time together. I'm inviting you to open your minds and hearts to whatever message God is sending you during this sermon. I think of a sermon as an invitation, an opportunity to break open scripture together, whether we are diving into what was happening in the world at the time the story happened, or whether we are discovering what this scripture means to you today in your life, or all the above, whatever God is calling you to hear, to find healing, to find hopeful, to find clarifying, to find reassuring. I pray that this time does that for you, that you have something that you can go away from this time together with, knowing that it was meaningful and you are thankful that you joined and participated. I wonder how differently we would live if we were conscious that the glory of God not merely shines upon us, but like an electric flash pulsates from within us, filling the world with the grandeur of God for Jesus and for us. Now is the time to shine with the grandeur and the glory of God. Amen. I love the Feast of the Transfiguration. I know, just like Dorothy, Wendy, and Jamel are laughing because I have a lot of favorite scriptures. But I love Transfiguration for the same reason I love Epiphany. It is about God revealing God's self, not just through the transfiguration of Jesus, but through the transfiguration of Moses and the transfiguration that occurs in our lives when we come into a very clear awareness that we are in the presence of God. Transfiguration, if you want to look it up, I love doing things like that, literally is to be transformed, altered, changed into something more beautiful and holy. Transfigurations in these scriptures today happen on mountain tops. Who has ever heard the expression, "I don't want to leave the mountaintop"? I had a mountaintop experience. In biblical times, when these stories took place, mountaintops were considered the highest you could go to get the closest to God. And it was often in those heights that you had a clear presence and understanding of God's presence. Also on the mountaintop, you're safe. You feel like you're just you and God. I'm sure Moses could have stayed on that mountain forever. The troops were getting restless. Things were getting out of hand. And there he was, called by God to take down the way that God desires for us to love. And I can only imagine Moses' fear and trepidation of, why in the world are they going to listen to this from me? Let me just stay right here. But then Moses is sent. Once we have been in that presence of God, we're sent. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the mountain because he needed them to get it. He needed them to listen. He needed them to be assured that their ministry was a ministry from God, a calling directly from God. And so they go up to the mountaintop, and you just heard the gospel. I won't repeat the story. But there are Moses and Elijah and Jesus, dazzling white. And then God says, because they needed this message, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." Jesus has tried to be teaching and forming these disciples so that they will be ready to take that light of Christ into the world when Jesus has died, resurrected, and ascended. And Peter and James and John naturally want this moment to last forever. Who doesn't just want to sit there and sit at the feet of Jesus and Moses and Elijah? But Jesus says, no, we got to go down. This is about the transfiguration of God, but it's also a reminder that God transfigures us. Where are the places that you feel closest and most assured of the presence of God? I invite you just to take a minute to think about it. And you don't have to feel like you have to say the church, although I do feel very close to God when I'm in the church. We can find all sorts of places and people to feel closest to God. A lot of time for me, it's water. On it, in it, by it. It's very natural for me. It's also mountaintops at times. There's a mountaintop outside of Boulder, Colorado, that I could just sit there for hours, very aware of the full presence of God. There are people that shine that light. I told the story at 8. There was a man at Good Shepherd named Star Pope, and he was just a holy presence. He constantly was a beacon of light. And there were times you just wanted to be near him so that a little of his light would shine on you and seep into your heart. He was a man who had never been married, had no children, lived next door to the church. He was a lawyer. He was humble and meek and strong and courageous and faithful, all wrapped up into a very slight man. And as he aged, he began not be able to stand straight very much. And before he died, he was pretty close to a 90-degree angle. That man walked everywhere. He hadn't owned a car in probably 40 years. And he trusted people to get him where he needed to go, whether he knew him or not. And I guarantee you, anyone who gave him a ride experienced the presence of God, the light of Christ. As he got older, he didn't stray much from the church. And he would walk up and down Ocean Drive, which is the street that runs along Corpus Christi Bay with the marina, the yacht club, everything else. And he would walk up and back and up and back. And one day I asked him, "Star, this has to be so hard. How do you know where you're going?" And he said, "I often don't, but I know that no matter where I'm going, God is shining light on me, and I will never be lost." When I experienced a vacancy of the light of Christ, I knew that if I just saw Star Pope, I would be bathed in the light. We need those baths. We need that pouring out of God's life. Whether it's in light, whether it's in people, whether you get it in church, in a beautiful setting. One of the reasons that I've never memorized the Eucharistic prayer, somebody asked me this not too long ago. They said, "Why do you read the Eucharistic prayer? If you can memorize your sermons, don't you just know the Eucharistic prayer?" And what I have found to be true is probably 2 out of every 4 services, God does something to me in the middle of Eucharist, and I get a vision of someone in my head. For example, when my sister-in-law died, the very next Sunday, I was doing the Eucharistic prayer at my former parish, and I literally had this vision of her. We were lifelong friends. I literally had this vision of her dressed in the uniform we wore to St. James Episcopal School with pigtails. The balls on the pigtail holder matched the uniform blue in saddle Oxfords. And it was the most reassuring presence that Mary was in the direct presence of God. A week ago Saturday, we celebrated the ordination, the 49th ordination of women. Now that sounds like a very long time ago. Dorothy was ordained 14 years after that anniversary. I was ordained 35 years after that anniversary. And I can remember kneeling, and at your priesthood, y'all have ordained a lot of priests here because you've had a lot of curates. We will again. But priests can come up that are there and lay their hands on you also, as the bishop is laying hands on you. And I have never felt so void of the light as I was preparing to kneel down and be ordained. And I looked at my ordination certificate this morning, and there were like 35 to 40 priests there. And as I was praying for the Spirit to fill me with light and God's presence, those 35 pairs of hands, some of them just far enough away, they just got one, and on someone else's back, and then they finally got it to me, and the bishop's hands on my head, I knew that I would never be void, literally, of the light. Now, there are times where I don't see it clearly, and I've got to go hunting for it a little bit, but I knew in that moment that I would never be alone, and that I would never not have God's empowerment and God's light and God's presence in me. And I also discovered I received a gift. So St. John's was really early in ordaining women. There were a few that had gone before Dorothy. So if you think about it, in 14 years, I think St. John's, I could be off a number, three women at least, maybe four. And when I got ordained in Texas, I was early. And I often found myself at the table as the only ordained woman. And I knew one gift that I could have would let the light be in me enough to have the hard conversations when for the first 3 or 4 years of my ministry, I would celebrate somewhere, not my home parish, they had the first woman ever ordained to the priesthood, but I would go and lead retreats and recovery retreats and camping programs. And for literally 5 years, I never did a consecration of the Eucharist where someone didn't come up to me and say, I've never seen a woman celebrate. And I knew that the light of God was calling me to be in that conversation with love and compassion. And I would say, well, what'd you think? And sometimes they'd be like, I'm not sure. And I'd say, well, let's talk about that. I was in a hospital one time seeing a parishioner, and the nurse said, you need to go into this room, but I need to warn you, he doesn't support women's in the priesthood. Okay, I'll go. Let's go. And I went in and I said, you may not want me here, but I am here to pray for you if you so desire. He said, I don't think I can do it. And I went, okay, I'll come back next time I'm here. And I was almost out the door and he said, well, what if I die before then? And I said, we can do this together and let me know how it can be helpful. God fills us with a light that can be a light for others, not in a way that is shared. We all don't have that same way or call of sharing that gift, but we all have that light and we're all called to share it. Find your mountaintops. Find the places that bring you into the presence of God. Find your people that are your mountaintop people. We can't just stay right there in that holy huddle. I always say it'd be a lot nicer if I could just stay right here in this building of St. John's. But we got to take that light and we got to go out there. And then someone is going to see you as a beacon of light. And they're going to come alongside you and find out what it is. Know your mountaintops. Let it fill you, and then have the courage to go down and out into the world, including the valleys. Amen. Thank you again for this time together. I pray that we always remember that we are part of a much bigger story, the story of God's love for God's people and the call for us to learn how to love God and learn how to love each and every other person we encounter with the kind of love that God has for us. And now for a blessing. Be present to today. Do not be anxious about what might happen tomorrow. The same God who cares for you today will care for you tomorrow. God will either shield you from suffering, or you will be given the unfailing strength to bear it. So be at peace then, and cast aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. In the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you this day, and remain with you forever. Amen.